Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Which team out of all of baseball has the most at stake at this trade deadline?
Well, I think now it's the Red Sox. They took a guy who is on a path to be in the Hall of Fame, one of the best young hitters that we've seen in a long time. He absolutely kills the Yankees, and they got some pitching in return, which the Red Sox had to do. But if they're going to run down the Yankees or make the playoffs somehow in the American League, they're going to have to go out and do something else. They're going to have to go out and replace his bat. And I'm not sure how they're going to do that.
This is the Christian Arcan Show on WEEI.
Hour number two here, Christian Arcan Show, WEEI. Nice to have you with us here today. It's 7 o'clock, and I know that before the show we said that Jeff Passan would be joining us here at 7. It is now 8 o'clock that we will be talking to Mr. Passan, ESPN. He's traveling. And had to move, so keep it right here. Just don't touch the dot. It's easier for everybody if you just leave it right here. No need to fiddle around. Because that, every time there's a segment that I want to hear, something that I'm looking forward to, and I'm like, yeah, I'll just flip back and listen to it. I always miss it. And I gotta go back and listen on the app or something like that. I want to miss this. You don't want to miss this.
I did that exact thing with the Dong Report last night.
That's a big confession you just made. But yeah, that's what happens. You can't just be like, oh, I'll come back. I'll be right back. No problem. Our brains aren't like that anymore. There was a time when people's brains worked a little bit better. Like you could compartmentalize those types of things. Well, I'm watching TV and I got two shows that I like on at the same time. I got Saved by the Bell here. I got Fresh Prince over here. I got the timing lined up so I know when the commercials are coming back. I'm not going to miss a single second of either show. But it's not like that anymore. Now it's, okay, Goldfish, next thing. Just the brain resets. That's what happens now. And I'm probably part of that. I'm probably part of the reason that that happens, just me and this medium and everything else. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. That was Tim Kirchin talking about all the pressure on the Red Sox that they're going to have here at the trade deadline. And even though I think this Rafael Devers trade was a giant pile of crap, I do feel like Craig Breslow at this deadline may be able to pull something off here. If the Red Sox continue to play well and they're in a position to really hold on and lock in on one of those wild card spots, well, I think that Breslow has the prospect capital and the, I would say, scores of willing teams who have, you know, bad teams with good players on them. There's a lot of that this year. I feel like more so than in years past. There's a lot of good players on bad teams right now. And the Red Sox were almost one of those teams. It was not even 2 weeks ago where the Vultures were circling. They were looking at Jaron Duran and Willy Abreu and Aroldis Chapman and all sorts of reports coming out about how Breslow and the Red Sox are already fielding all kinds of calls about those types of players. And if they really want to prove to people that the Devers trade wasn't signaling some kind of white flag surrender situation, and I do believe that they are trying to pitch that to to the public. I don't know how well it's landing, but they are trying to pitch it, and that's definitely, that was the tone and tenor of that press conference on Zoom, too, by the way. I feel like Breslow, despite all of this stuff that's gone on here, has earned a little bit of grace. Not a lot, but a little bit of grace based off of this past offseason. This past offseason was dynamite. This was a terrific offseason by every possible measure. You got an ace, and you locked him up. You got the number one power-hitting right-handed free agent who was a free agent the entire winter, which was a little weird. Looking back on that now, Bregman being a free agent right up until the first day of spring training, I thought is a little ridiculous. But we're also talking about a league where Manny Machado and Bryce Harper and all those guys, they didn't even get signed until the week into the season a couple years back. I may be mixing them up with somebody else, but you know what I mean. It takes a long time for these free agents to go, except for Juan Soto. Like a lot of the other ones, they just kind of hang in limbo until the spring starts. And Bregman was one of them. But that was an A+. Crochet, A+. Aroldis Chapman, A+. Carlos Narvaez trade, A+. He has a very stellar report card. Breslau, where'd he go? Dartmouth?
Yale,
excuse me. I'm sure that offended the hell out of someone, what I just said there. I don't know who, but I'm sure someone was offended by that. Either way, you know, for a guy from, that's a good GPA right there. That is a good GPA this past semester. A+ all up and down the report card.
I went to Yale. Get it right.
Sorry, I'm sorry about that. Sorry about that, Breslau bot. But you know what I mean? Like, you've got to give him a little bit of a grace period from this. This isn't something where you turn around and you fire him. And I know the chaos here that has arisen from all of this has not been good for the team and certainly not good for their image or anything else. But one thing that is persisting here is that the team is still winning games. And if they sweep this weekend against Devers and the Giants, not only will that propel them even further up the standings, but what a statement that would make. What a statement that would make from this team to go to San Francisco, a Giants team that's legitimately good this year and is nipping at the heels of the Dodgers in the NL West. You go out there and you sweep that team, and even taking 2 out of 3 would be great. I'm not going to minimize that, but you go there and sweep them, that is a statement you're making. That is a big, loud statement you're making. And I'm ready for it. I'm ready to put all this behind me. People still text, I can't believe you're still talking about Devers. Really, you can't? They're playing literally his new team tonight. And you don't think it's going to get brought up? You don't think it's going to be mentioned? Two very long articles were written about it today with all sorts of behind-the-scenes details, and you think it's just not something we should discuss here on the sports radio station that happens to be the Red Sox flagship station? Is that, that's, I mean, listen, you know, I think Ken's a pretty good program director. I think he's pretty good, but this guy in the text line, I mean, he may be onto something here. Like ignoring the player that just got traded when you're about to play his team for the first time, and it just happened not even a week ago. That may be the way to go.
And the game's going to be on this station.
That's true. It will be right here on this station. And we will be talking to one of the guys who wrote one of those articles today. But we should probably ignore the Devers topic, I think. Yeah, that's a good idea. One thing I wanted to discuss here as well comes from Passan's story. And I'm reading from it right now. Any objective assessment would note that perhaps the problems originated with organizational instability. The Red Sox had grown bloated in part, at least because they so often made changes. Regardless of how it came to be, the recommendations included the elimination of jobs across multiple departments. 50 people or so were fired last year, sources said. The professional scouting department got gutted. Some positions wound up being filled, but it was clear to those who stayed and went this was Breslau's team and he would remake it in his own image. Since the cuts, Breslau's circle of trust has been small and his reliance on the team's analytical model has been heavy, leaving some longtime employees embittered. Breslau loyalists fear the consequences of that, with one saying, there's definitely turncoats plotting internally against Brez. This is one of his friends saying that. Is it true? Probably. But if it's not, then that's a paranoid little group right there, isn't it? That's a very small circle of big-time decision-makers, and they're all looking around, who's plotting against me. Either way, it's not great. The Devers trade only heightened the Palace intrigue. Front office officials from other teams mostly lauded the deal for Boston. I find this interesting. Looking at San Francisco's willingness to take on the remaining money, but models exist to strip the emotion out of decision-making and use decades of history and dozens of other inputs about players' skills gleaned from the cameras that track their every move to objectively analyze. There is no accounting for a fan base's adoration of a player. One rival official said Boston botched this entire situation, and somehow it all resulted in them getting to dump an underwater contract and a distraction while also getting a bunch of value back in return. It's interesting that other executives are looking at what happened here and saying, wow, the Red Sox really did a great job to get rid of that money. What a great job they did to lose $35 million off their payroll. Wow. It's really interesting. I guarantee you that executive was not an executive from the New York Mets or the Los Angeles Dodgers or the San Diego Padres or you and any of these other the Phillies. You think Dave Dombrowski said that? Certain executives have certain priorities. Certain executives, and maybe it comes from ownership, and the Red Sox, I think it's clear that it does. But they also bring in the guy that they think is best suited to execute their plan. And in the case of Breslow, the 13th best guy to do that, who made it through all the AI computer interview rounds. Passed him with flying colors. That should tell you something, by the way. Breslow aced it. It's like robot to robot. He was right there. You know, he was... Nailed that whole thing. You know, how did it's like two AI bots talking to each other, and all of a sudden, what happens? You know. Anyway, a little joke. I think with this, there's no real way to look at the situation now and say that it's in a good place. This about Breslow. This about his small circle, this about there being people in the organization still that weren't fired during the big purge, which, by the way, don't love that. And I'm not necessarily even going to blame Breslow for that. Breslow is not the one who created all this turnover and fires the GM every 2 years, even when they win a World Series. That's not Craig Breslow doing that, okay? Craig Breslow didn't tell Dave Dombrowski 1 year after the greatest season in the history of the Boston bleeping Red Sox, thanks for everything, but you're spending too much money and here's the door. And we're going to bring in Chaim Bloom and we're going to make him trade Mookie Betts. And that's the new direction that we're going in. Thanks for the World Series. Thanks for the epic legendary team, which maybe would be the best Red Sox team there ever was or ever will be. Thanks for putting that all together, but we're all set. What matters more to us is getting out from under all these taxes. And the bottom line. And we're going to bring in a guy who is not going to have your philosophy at all. The new philosophy is going to be making sure that we don't overpay for Mookie Betts, even if that means we have to trade him. Making a embarrassing offer to Xander Bogaerts, which he may have been gone anyway, but we'll never know. And now trading Rafael Devers 1 year after an extension you gave him that you didn't even want to give him in the first place. And apparently there were a lot of high-ranking officials in the Red Sox organization who were against that. And that's after they traded Betts. Think about that. That's after they traded Betts and let Bogaerts walk, and they had nothing really else to latch on to. Someone suggested, well, why don't we lock up Devers? And there were people like, no, sir. And on some level, I kind of get it, just based on Devers being not a great fielder and not exactly the body type that you expect is going to hold up for 10 more years. But it's the idea that there were people in that room who didn't really absorb the impact of losing Betts and Bogaerts in the previous two seasons or three seasons, whatever it was, and said, no, we can't extend Rafael Devers. It's better to lose all three of them. And now all three of them are gone anyway. But like at the time, it would be better to lose all three of them than to overspend for this one guy. Another window into the thinking of the Boston Red Sox, is it not? And it's not just the Red Sox. There's other rival executives who are looking at them trading Devers and going, great job, guys. Nice trade. Wow, you really got rid of that money, huh? And that money, I mean, listen, that money may end up being the biggest asset they get back. And if I felt like they were going to flip it around and spend big on another superstar in this next offseason, you know, they might. I don't think that's out of the question. But I feel like they could have done that and also kept Rafael Devers if they wanted to, which they clearly didn't. And that's another aspect of this. Was this a baseball trade? No, it was not. Dan Shaughnessy asked, a bunch of people asked him that, and they said the same thing. Oh, this is a baseball trade. Absolutely, baseball trade. One thing that is perfectly clear from Passan and from Pete Abraham today is that this was about as personal of a move as there's been here in a long time. This was all motivated by personal animus. There was not really any legitimate baseball reason to do this. And that's, even if the pitcher ends up being a great pitcher, even if he ends up being the ace of the Red Sox somewhere down the road, I'm not sure that that is something that you look at now and say, well, like, they have an ace, don't they? They have an ace who's in his 20s, mid-20s. And you can never have too much pitching, but you sacrificed Rafael Devers to get it. Like, it just, that seems, and it's not even going to be coming right now. It's going to be coming in a couple of years. And these kids in rookie ball, who knows how long it's going to take for them. And while one thing we've heard from Breslow over and over and over again, and from Chaim Bloom before him, is that we're not going to sacrifice wins tomorrow for wins today. Well, you know, eventually it becomes tomorrow. I've been hearing that so much, it's been tomorrow for 3 years.
We can't sacrifice wins tomorrow for wins today.
Okay. Thank you, Breslow Bot. But I thought that was over with. I thought this season marked the end of all that. I thought trading for Crochet, spending all that money on Bregman and Buehler and Chapman and everybody, I thought, and we all thought, that that signaled an end to the days of, well, we can't go over the tax, we got to move on from Betts, we can't re-sign Bogart, we can't do any of these things, we're not going to trade assets at the deadline, we got to hold on and make sure our farm system's strong, and then when the time is right, we're going to strike. And the time was right, they struck, and then halfway through the season, they're resetting again. And as a fan, that's just... makes your head explode.
It really is amazing when you put it like that. Like, just crazy to think about.
Yeah. And the thing about it is, Breslow had a great offseason. He had a great offseason, and yet it seems like what's happening right now is highly dysfunctional. Maybe Breslow's not meant for a role that big and all-encompassing. Maybe Breslow's strength was, what was he with the Cubs, like their pitching coach or something?
Yeah, he was in charge of their pitching development, but it was an entirely remote position that he worked from Newton.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I didn't realize that. He was working for Theo, right?
Yeah, and the Cubs doing their pitching development. And the weird thing about that, too, is the Cubs, their big thing for their pitching prospects was velocity. And then he came here and they threw the fastball away.
So no more fastballs. How about this? Where's Theo? Where's Theo Epstein? He rejoined Fenway Sports Group. He's back with the team. Where is he? I haven't heard a word from him. I haven't heard a peep. Sam Kennedy and Breslow making all these statements. I haven't heard Theo say a word. And, you know, I started thinking about him today because the very beginning of Passan's piece talks about Theo leaving on Halloween in the gorilla suit and how he quit and then came back and all that. And I was thinking about it, and I was like, yeah, and he's back now, isn't he? What's he think about all this? What did he think about trading Devers? What did he think about, well, he wasn't there when they extended him, but, like, I wonder what he thought about that. Or was he there when they extended him? Was he part of it? I can't remember if he'd been hired.
No, they brought him in before they hired Breslow.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. So, yeah, where's Theo? What's Theo's take on all this? I'd like to hear from Theo. Theo, if you're listening, Jeff Passan moved to 8 o'clock, so if you want to call in, we got room for you. 617-779-7937. You're going to have to wait in line with everybody else, Theo, but we'll get to you. You want to call in. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the numbers and the analytics, revisit the decision to have Christian Campbell play second base and not move Bregman over to second base, and maybe save yourself a lot of headaches. We'll get to that right after Zach Coe gets you caught up on what's trending.
The exclusive home for Patriots Monday and Friday.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by the Prudential Center, located in the heart of Back Bay, features over 70 shops and eateries. Discovery at the center of it all. Red Sox open up a 3-game set against Rafael Devers and the San Francisco Giants tonight. First pitch of game one is at 10:15 Eastern. Hunter Dobbins getting the start for the Sox opposite Hayden Birdsong for the Giants. Devers is 3-for-11 with an RBI in his first 3 games as a Giant. You can hear coverage of that one right here on WEEI and across the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. Christian Arcan will have the MassMutual pregame show at 9:15. Then Will Fleming and Lou Merlone will have the call of the game. Again, first pitch at 10:15. Red Sox today sent rookie Christian Campbell back down to AAA Worcester in order to activate outfielder Willier Abreu from the injured list. They also traded left-handed pitcher Zach Penrod to the Los Angeles Dodgers in exchange for cash considerations. Penrod was DFA'd on Sunday to make room for the pitchers acquired in the Devers trade. Over in the NBA Finals, the Pacers force a winner-go-home Game 7 with a 108-91 win at home over the Thunder. Indiana had six players reach double-digit points in Game 6. Game 7 set for Sunday night at 8 o'clock in Oklahoma City. Earlier today, the Bruins announced that Steve Spott has been added to their coaching staff as an assistant coach. Spott spent the past three seasons as an assistant coach for the Dallas Stars. He oversaw a Stars power play that had a 23.7% success rate over the past three seasons, which ranked 7th in the NHL. Revolution are off this weekend. They'll host Nashville SC on Wednesday night at Gillette. Finally, LSU will face Coastal Carolina in the Men's College World Series. That best of three series gets underway tomorrow. Headed to Fenway for the game? Park in Prudential Center's garage for just $25 for nights and weekend games. Located in the heart of Back Bay, shop, dine, and discover all Prudential Center has to offer, including the View Boston Observation Deck. Just a short walk over to Fenway from the Pru. My name is Zach Cohen. That's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com. More Christian Arcan show coming up after this.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. If Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Black Friday? More like Black Fry-yay. Shop the DSW Black Friday sale and take 30% off almost all the shoes, accessories, and giftable goodies we've got at DSW.com. Plus 30% off just about every regular price item at your DSW store. Score shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. So carpe the deal. Head to Designer Shoe Warehouse and get that gift list done. DSW, let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Did you know that if you miss any part of the show, you can jump back to listen?
Either on the Odyssey app or at WEEI.com. Click on the orange listen button.
And rewind to the moments you care about most. The Christian Arcan Show on WEEI.
Kind of on paper, we're not going to have the same lineup that, that we did. But this isn't about... the game that is played on paper. This is about the game that's played on the field, and ultimately about winning the most games that we can. And in order to do that, trying to put together the most functional and complete team that we can. And so I think when you consider the flexibility, the ability to give some of the young players some run, the opportunity to maybe repackage some of the resources and fill some voids in the roster as early as, approaching this year's deadline, and being really intentional about the environment that we create for these young players to thrive in, then I do think that there is a real chance that at the end of the season, we're looking back and we've won more games than we otherwise would have.
617-779-7937 is your phone number. It's Christian Arcand, Christian Arcand Show here, WEEI. We're live in our Brighton studios, powered by Verizon. Texter said, Arcand, you said that there's good players on bad teams, but then you didn't name any. I've been sort of going over my list of names for the trade deadline and guys that I would like to target. I didn't want to dive too deep into that yet because we're still over a month away. But since you asked, Texter, and you asked very rudely, by the way. It's weird how people are so rude on the text line. You know, it doesn't cost anything to be nice. Some names at first base, anyway, that I had already written down were Kurtz in with the A's. Reese Hoskins was a name that I saw bouncing around. The Brewers aren't terrible, but they, Hoskins is a guy that I think they may be looking to if the deal is right. Matt Olson with Atlanta. That's a team that's spiraling or has been spiraling this year, and their fans are fed up. I like the kid in Colorado. He's not having a great season, but he had a couple of stretches where he looked like he might be good. He's young. I think he's 25, 26. Michael Toglia, whatever. I don't know how to pronounce his name.
I think it's Tolio.
Tolio. I think that's right, yeah. Haven't watched a lot of their games, but I did notice him. I noticed when he's in the news. And admittedly, it's not like there's a ton of great options there. Wilson Contreras with St. Louis is another one. And these are all just the first baseman. I mean, you could probably go through it and find some more at different positions, and maybe some of those positions may not be perfect for the Red Sox. I don't know exactly what they're planning on doing. I don't know if they're going to do something about their outfield situation. I don't know if they're looking to add an outfielder and make it better, or if they want to keep it as is or what, but like it seems like they have a lot of outfielders, which generally means one of them or two of them or more than that gets traded. You have a big logjam, and you're not going to miss the guy if you trade him and you can get something back for him, then yeah, those are usually the type of trades that teams love to make. And you don't want to give away good players, but you also like to have something that other people want. That's the whole point of getting into this in the first place. So those are just a couple of those names, since you asked. But what I want to talk about now isn't necessarily what they may be doing or not doing at the trade deadline. I want to talk about the reliance, I want to say. I think reliance is a accurate way of looking at it, of the computer model versus the interpersonal skills that maybe other organizations are a little bit more effective with. And this is from Passan. It said, when Devers showed up at spring training, the team broached the idea of him shifting to designated hitter. Their computer model said that the best version of the 2025 Red Sox would be featuring reigning minor league player of the year Christian Campbell at second base, Bregman at third base, and Devers at DH. Devers was livid. A player's position is part of his identity. He was a third baseman. Beyond that, though, there was a breach in the trust implicit in a contract of Devers' magnitude. Those last couple sentences, I think, are kind of eyewash. And that's not to say that Passan was wrong to write them or anything, but like, I think that that clearly was the perspective of Rafael Devers, and I think it's a perspective that not a lot of people are going to be able to relate to, if that was sort of the idea. Devers was mad because a player's position is part of his identity. Players move positions all the time. Better players than Rafael Devers have moved position all throughout the history of baseball. So, sorry, but I don't really care about that. And that's like a weird thing for him to care about that much because he sucked at third base anyway. He was a third baseman. Yeah, bad one. Beyond that, though, there was a breach in the trust implicit in a contract of Devers' magnitude. And I think that's the biggest disconnect right there. The biggest disconnect is, no, you gave me this big contract, and now you're asking me to do all this stuff. That's not what you do with someone with a big contract. You let that person do his thing because you're so, like, that's sort of the idea I think that Devers had when he signed on for 10 years and $350 million, is that now it's all, I'm free and clear. They're not going to ask me anything. I'm the man. They wouldn't ever want to get me mad or upset. They wouldn't ever disrespect me now that I'm the face of the franchise, which he doesn't and still doesn't and never wanted to be, and is not going to want to be in San Francisco either, by the way. But really, with that type of money and that type of contract, should have insured. And from the Red Sox perspective, I can understand this. That should have insured the exact opposite. Wow, you guys really believe in me. Okay, this is an act of good faith. You have locked me up long term. You've made it so I'll never have to worry about money ever again in my life. You took a chance on me when you didn't on other players. And maybe it was all for the optics of it, but it doesn't matter to Rafael Devers. The check still goes to him, whether it was for optics or baseball or whatever it was. You know, that money goes in the bank account. And instead of that type of reaction, and I don't think you have to be, you know, bowing in reverence every single time John Henry walks by, but you would think that that would have bought a little bit of goodwill from Rafael Devers, wouldn't you? Getting locked up like that? Getting paid like that from a team that doesn't do that very often? And instead, here we are a year later, and it's FUBAR. You know, it's completely, there is nothing left of this relationship. It went so south so quickly. And I think that it was due in part to some of that. Because Devers wasn't going to end the relationship. He doesn't have the power to do that. Only their team does. I guess Devers could not play or something, but, like, you know, he's not going to breach his contract. But he doesn't have the power to trade himself or to cut himself or whatever. You know, that's not something he can do. So he was going to just keep on hitting and not wanting to move to first base or third base or any other base and just keep DHing and keep hitting and producing and doing on the field what he was asked to do in the batter's box, but not anywhere else. And he was happy to keep doing that. It was the team that said, no, 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 we're getting you the hell out of here. And that came pretty quickly after the meeting in Kansas City. Passon goes on to write, at the very least, if the Red Sox were intent on him moving positions, he wanted to ease into the new role, play a couple times a week at third base, and take the rest of his at-bats as DH. No, he was told, this was what was best for the team. And this part of it, which is not something that really got explored very much at the time. At the time, I think fans were mostly on the side of the computer here. Well, Bregman's a better third baseman. Why would you want Devers playing any third base when now Bregman's here and you're spending $40 million and he's a gold glover? And what the hell do you want Devers out there at third base for? And I think on some level that made sense. But when you have a player who is very sensitive and it's once a week or a couple times a week that he's asking for, well, can I play third base ever? And they said, no, you can't. You're not the third baseman anymore. Throw away your glove. You're the DH now. And that's the way it is because that's what the computer said. I do think that there is a little bit, because how harmful could it have really been to have him play third base once in a while? And when you knew that it was a big deal to him and move him to DH and then to ask him to do something else, I'm not trying to justify Devers' behavior here. But I do think that saying, sorry, we can't do it because the computer told us not to, is not the greatest reasoning. And if that was me, I'd be like, well, screw the computer. I'm the guy who's here playing. I'm the guy who's the best player on your team. Why don't you shove the computer up your backside and let's talk, you know? Can I get in once or twice a week? Can I play third base here and there? And that may not have worked either. Based on the way that Devers has been behaving all throughout this and since, I'm not sure that that would have worked either. Okay, Rafi, we'll have you there twice a week, and then we'll have, you know, once a week we'll have you at third, and the rest of the time Bregman's going to be there, and you'll be the DH. He still would have bitched and moaned about it. I would think. That doesn't sound like something that would have pacified this whole situation, but it may have, I think, in some ways spoken to the idea that Craig Breslow, not just Rafael Devers, but Craig Breslow's style and the way in which this team is just, you know, glued to the computer and really not about to deviate from that plan at all, does sort of go to show that this is the way of the team now. This is how they go about it. And I think that has created a lot of division with the players, with the coaches, with everybody. I just, you know, I mean, not to sound like an old fart here, but I think that's a big reason why this all happened the way it did. I think with just a little bit of massaging here, this all could have gone very differently.
And it's so weird, too, because in that cut coming in, Breslow says it's about the play on the field, not right. The team on paper. So which is it?
Doesn't seem like that's a consistent message at all. 617-779-7937. Let's go out to Amherst. Talk to Brian. Go ahead, Brian.
Hey, Christian. Love the show. Love all the shows you've been on.
Thank you, Brian.
I also wonder where he earned it. So I wonder, doesn't Devers become a 10-10 guy next year if he had been with the Red Sox, and that makes him that much harder to trade because he can deny trades?
Yeah.
Isn't that what locks in at 10-10?
I believe so. I'll have to look and see. I don't know the specifics of that, but that sounds right, Brian. And if that's true, then, you know, sure. I mean, I don't know that that justifies doing a salary dump at this point and not getting much back, but that could have played a role in it, sure.
Yeah, I see your point, but I mean, I don't know, the trend seems like it's pretty well established, and I don't know that Devers is going to really change, especially, I know Bregman's got the opt-out, but, you know, I would imagine that he would be here. They're probably figuring the same. But anyway, appreciate your thoughts. Love the show, man.
All right. Thanks, Brian. Energizing Sloth in the Twitch chat said, Arkin, why do you have a problem with him saying that they should have asked him in the spring to play first base? Because they had a first baseman in the spring, Energizing Sloth. They had Tristan Casas right there. There was no earthly reason for them to ask Rafael Devers to play first base in the spring. There was zero reason for that. That's why. And Devers saying that today, I thought was ridiculous. It was a ridiculous comment to make. Well, if they had just asked me in the spring, I would have played first base. What the hell would they, why the bleep would they do that? You know, why would they ask you to do that when they have their first baseman of the future right there? Probably in the locker right next to yours. Just use your head, Rafi. It's like he still doesn't get it. That's why. Even after all this, he's still saying stuff like, well, if they had just asked me in the spring to play first base, I would have done it. Why? No reason to do that whatsoever. Literally no reason. And the fact that he still has that in his mind tells me that no, he really still doesn't get it. And that's just the way it's going to have to be, I guess. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. David Ortiz put a story on Instagram about Rafael Devers, and it's not super complimentary, and it has raised the question from Dan Shaughnessy and others. Is David Ortiz just a shill for the Red Sox now? We'll get to that next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds low after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good. Like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes. They're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Did you know that if you miss any part of the show, you can jump back to listen?
Either on the Odyssey app or at at WEEI.com. Click on the orange listen button.
And rewind to the moments you care about most. The Christian Arcan Show on WEEI.
If I was him, I would have put myself available for anything. But that was me. He was a third baseman that was asked to be a DH. Now all of a sudden you want him to play first base. I guess you had to give him some time for him to learn if he wanted to, because he's doing great at the DH. You know, like, I don't want to miss that. All. You know what I mean? You're leading the league in RBIs. You got all your things going on as a batter. That's a good thing. So we cannot just crush the guy every time we feel like. We need to know that he's an important piece for this organization. He's doing what he was asked for. You know what I'm saying? I think he should just think about what would be better for the organization, him at first or him to the edge, or and go from there.
David Ortiz, who some of you may have heard of, back on June 2nd, talking about this whole situation moving around, trying to get people to lay off Devers a little bit. Well, that tune has certainly changed over the last couple of weeks. Culminating, he was with Ken Rosenthal this week and making statements to reporters, and that culminated with an Instagram post today where he took a bit of a jab at Devers. Some are calling it subtle. I don't think it's particularly subtle. He posted a picture of himself posing in front of the number 34, you know, that big 3-4 at Fenway Park. And the caption is as follows. The thing is, I like when people start a sentence with "the thing is." I do that all the time. But like an Instagram post, the thing is. Like,
you know, they're about to cook.
Well, there's a thing. Okay, well, what's the thing? Exactly. The thing is that to have something like this at Boston, and he's talking about his statue with his number there. To have something like this in Boston, you have to just not be a hitter. You have to be the full package all the way around. Player, dot, dot, dot. Go Sox, period. At Red Sox. And then another little text bubble on the left that says, best organization in baseball. Now, there's two ways to look at this. Number one, you have to not just be a hitter, you have to be the full package. That's kind of rich coming from David Ortiz, who was a DH, which means he was just a hitter.
Five-tool player.
Right. The athletic marvel of David Ortiz. But you know what I mean? I don't think he's talking about that. I don't think he's talking about baseball there. He's talking about how he became Big Poppy. You want to have your number retired out front, you got to be a little bit more accessible there, Rafi. You have to give them something. You have to give them, aside from just hitting the ball, you have to give them more reasons to root for you. And while I think the best organization in baseball stuff is a little much, although Ortiz does have pretty good reason to say that, I would say. He sparred with upper management a lot. But when he got shot in the Dominican Republic, the Red Sox sent a plane and they got him back here and they saved his life. So, you know, like that, I can see why he may be ready to tell the Red Sox, hey, you know what, whatever you guys need, whatever you need me to say, I'll say it. Best organization, best sure. Yeah, you sent that plane over there, you got me back here, I'm still alive today. Like, I'll, whatever you want there, John, Tom, all you guys. Best organization in baseball, boom, posted. So I don't really blame him for that. But I also think what he's saying is true. David Ortiz, if he was just a great hitter, would have been an all-time great Red Sox. But he wouldn't have been Big Poppy. He wouldn't have this legend associated with him without giving back to the fans. And he did that numerous times. He was very active in the city. He was what we all remember, of course, in 2013 after the marathon. I mean, you know, he had many, many moments on the field, off the field, period. And he had a larger-than-life personality. Rafael Devers has a smaller-than-life personality, if that's possible. His personality is, like, microscopic. And he didn't let anybody in. His teammates, fans, towards the end, the media, really not anyone. And that's not to say that the only way to ever be, like, Ted Williams was a bit of a difficult personality from, according to everything that's ever been written about him ever. Yaz, even. Yaz wasn't the most sunny personality in the world.
Jim Rice, too, right?
Yeah, sure, Jim Rice. There's a lot of examples of, you know, guys like that over the years who certainly weren't David Ortiz and are legends with the Red Sox. But I do understand what Ortiz is saying here, and I do think that he has a point. I don't agree with it 100%. I think you can still be a bit of a prickly pear and have your number up on the facade and have a statue out front, have everything else going on if you're good enough. Thing is, Devers was never on that level. He was never on David Ortiz's level. His OPS plus, I read in the passing thing, was like 25th since he got into the league, and it's been, you know, it's gone up since then, obviously, and he's considered certainly better than top 25 these days. But we're not talking about an MVP candidate. We're not talking about some record holder. We're not talking about an all-time player. We're talking about a great player. Devers is a great player. Hall of Fame player? Is he going to be a Hall of Fame player? I think that'll be debated. I don't think he's a first ballot Hall of Famer, that's for sure. I think it's going to depend on what the rest of the class looks like, but it's not going to be one of those where it's like, oh, Rafael Devers, sure, unanimous. You know, him and Mo Rivera. If it is, it's probably going to be, probably going to take a couple of years, and it may have to be one of those lean years before it ever happens. But again, we're talking way down the road here. All I'm saying is that for Ortiz to be getting back into this and sort of climbing back in the ring and making these statements does make me think he is becoming more of a shill for the team maybe than he was before. Because this is really an us versus them type of situation. And while he was never the personality of Rafael Devers, he was the power hitter on this team for many, many years. And he was a guy that clashed with the front office for many years and had some blow-ups on the field and off the field. And I remember him crashing that Terry Francona press conference and yelling and screaming about how he should have had an RBI instead of a whatever. I forget exactly what the details were. But, you know, he had his stuff. It wasn't always pretty for him. But one thing that he was able to do that Devers wasn't able to do was kind of play the game. Okay, well, you're gonna bust my chops about this, then I'll take it, but then I'll get mine later. With Devers, it was just nothing. There was no back and forth. He wasn't interested in it. And you gotta really notice that with all these players and all these managers, GMs, chief baseball officers, whoever, they all leave. It always ends badly. And the one common thread throughout it all has always and is always going to be ownership. That's the common thread. Manny Ramirez, Theo Epstein, Terry Francona, Dave Dombrowski, Mookie Betts, Rafael Devers, just down the list you go. Chris Sale, all of them. Chris Sale is a little bit different. But you do notice a pattern here after a while. And that pattern does have one constant, and that constant is the owners. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. When we come back, we will be joined by ESPN's Jeff Passan. That's coming up next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10-7 through 12-1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.